more of that area.
Okay. Anyone else? Helen's traveling. So, are all of you leaving? I'm gonna stay.
I'll be here.
We'll have to go out into the world and drag some in.
There we go.
So, you guys are going in 3 weeks? Well, I'll see you, hopefully, Lord willing, between now and then. We'll make sure that we put you on our prayer chain or list. I mean, we can pray for you now.
Pray for Lou Smith.
Lou Smith?
Yes.
Her son, Ray. He's got possibly their anchors.
We can pray accordingly. Anyone else? Okay, let's pray. Father God, we are so grateful to be in your presence this day, to learn from you, to learn from your spirit how to live and to walk in this world in a way that pleases you, that honors you, that lifts you up. That's why we're here. That's why you've left us here, so that we can have an impact on those around us. That we can share your love with people that are needy, people that are seeking. That's our purpose. That's why you left us. That's why you're coming back. We celebrate today, Father. We set this time aside to remember what you've done and the sacrifice of your Son, his dying and rising again. And we are in awe of what he had to go through for us personally, individually, that we might have eternity with him. Father, as we bring our request before you, we know you know every word that's going to come out of our mouth before we speak it. But out of obedience to you, we bring these requests before you for us to remember. For you, we ask to work in a way that will glorify you most. We bring before you Iva and the cancer she has. Father, so many today are plagued with this. I pray, Father, that you would work in her body. But more than that, I pray that you work in her spirit. That's eternal. That's the most important thing. You've said that in this world we're going to have difficulty, trouble, but we are to be of good courage because you have overcome the world. We bring Helen before you as she's preparing to travel, and we ask her for safety for her, that she accomplish what she needs to, and you bring her back safely to us. We know she is under your watchful hand, and you will care for her. We pray for Lou Smith. father and her son in particular. But we pray for strength for Lou as she ministers to her son. Father, sometimes you just put us in a position that drives us to you. I pray that for this man, that through the difficulty he has, he would seek you. You have words of life. You have eternity in the palm of your hand. We just pray for one another here today, that we do not forget what a powerful God you are. What a merciful God you are. And what a holy God you are. I pray this morning that nothing be taught here today that is contrary to your will or to your word, but that you would receive all honor and all glory in our pursuit. We give you our thanks, Father, for all things that you do. And we give them in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we're going to finish up quickly in the book, or talking about the holiness of God in regard to Isaiah. And then we're going to look at the holiness of Jesus Christ. So I don't want to race through it, but I think we have enough of an understanding based on what we have looked at in the past several weeks. We know about Isaiah and what happened to him. God intervened in this man's life. Can you give me a synopsis of what was going on in Isaiah 6? You remember? Maybe we should work on our memory skills. He saw a vision of Seraphim. Yeah, not serpents, but seraphim. Six wings. Okay. Robe fills the temple. What was the vision of, though? I mean, there's a word here that I'm looking for. There we go. He saw a vision of God's holiness, and it changed him. It literally, I don't want to use the word converted him, but it gave him a glimpse, which I think we all need to see, if we haven't seen it yet, how holy God is. Think about this time. Think about the cross. Think about what Christ endured on Good Friday. Think about God the Father not looking on Jesus and the sin that he took for you and me. Did I say something funny? Okay. He took it. Now I lost my train of thought because of Junior here. But he took every sin that I will ever commit, and the sin of the entire world. And because God is holy, he did not look upon him. He was separated for a moment in time because God is holy. This is God the Father turning his back on God the Son. Big deal. Not a small thing. Was Jesus holy? Question. Jesus was holy, separate. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. That word, separate, holy, means just that. He is the other. He's not like us. He doesn't think the way we do. He doesn't act the way we do, which was evident in his teaching. He said, you know, it's been said, love your neighbors and hate your enemies. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who persecute you. You want to talk about radical teaching? This was due. If you were persecuted, you had an opportunity under the law to strike back. This is different. This is the other that the word talks about. Separate, not like us. Totally man, but totally God at the same time. The message of Isaiah 6 is much easier to understand, and I ask you to read the portions of Scripture in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 11, in 2 Corinthians 2. We're not going to go there because we have so much to do. I hope you did that. Paul was accused of, because of his message, being dull in speech, being simple. While others, especially the false apostles, who sought a following among the Corinthians, were fascinating as they employed persuasive and entertaining techniques. But Paul was a man intent on pleasing God rather than men. Consequently, Paul would not dilute the gospel to make it more appealing to men. How often do we see that? The entertainment factor as we worship. We look for that. We want our ears tickled. We do. Because the righteousness of the cross can be very painful for us who have disobeyed. He spoke the truth in the simplest and clearest terms so men would be supernaturally convinced and converted rather than persuaded by human cleverness. At the outset of Revelation, the revelation given to the Apostle John recorded in the book of Revelation, God saw a vision of the Lord exalted and holy. This vision preceded the command to record what he saw. Therefore, in Revelations 1:19, the things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things that shall take place after these things, write them down so we don't forget. It's no wonder that at the end of this concluding book of the Bible, we find these words underscoring the importance of preserving this record as it was revealed. In Revelation 22, 18 and 19, the word says, I testify to everyone who hears the words of this prophecy, if anyone adds to them, God shall add to him the plagues which are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of this book of prophecy, God shall take away his part from the tree of life and from the holy city, which are in this book. A stern command. Isaiah was to serve as a prophet in a day when his message would be rejected and resisted. Palm Sunday, the masses came out, his disciples came out, and laid palm branches as he rode the donkey into Jerusalem, saying, Hosanna. Do you know what that word means? Huh? Save us. These people saw something in Jesus that they wanted and that they needed. Hosanna. Glory to God in the highest. Isaiah was charged with sharing this message. It wasn't popular. What at the beginning of Isaiah 6, what did Isaiah see that changed him? He saw the glory of God in all of its splendor. And he reacted by saying, I am a man. No, he started by saying, I am undone. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. It wasn't just their mouth. It was the speech which proceeds from the heart. The sinful disposition of man is to avoid pain and persecution, and thus alter, if possible, the message and method of communicating the message of Christ, so men will respond more favorably. Jesus didn't do that. He spoke the gospel, the good news, and for some, it was difficult to hear, because it would change their life, and they were comfortable with the lives that they had. God manifested His holiness to Isaiah to motivate him to be faithful to his calling and to the message that he was given. Isaiah never lost the vision of whom he served and whom he must both fear and please. The glory of his ministry and the message was that the message was in the one who gave it to him, the one who served. Paul had somewhat similar experience at the beginning of his ministry. At his conversion, he beheld the glory of God and he never forgot it. Look what Paul endured after his conversion. His comrades in arms, the Pharisees, wanted to kill him. And the Christians whom he persecuted were afraid of him. The glory of the message and the ministry sustained him, even in the midst of suffering, adversity, and rejection, even by some of the saints. Paul was faithful in his calling and the message he was given to proclaim, even unto death. Remind you of somebody? Jesus said, the student is not greater than his teacher. If they hated me, they're going to hate you. If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. But be of good courage. Take heart. Because I've overcome this world system. Satan can no longer do anything to you that would remove you from God's grasp. We're going to talk about the holiness of Jesus Christ, second person of the Trinity, God's holy Son. The promises of the coming Messiah in the Old Testament became increasingly specific until it was evident that the Messiah must not only be human, but divine. I would like Tom, because you're up front, I start here. Tom, would you look up Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, and read that for us? Amen. This was some time before Christ came on the scene. This prophecy spoke specifically of him. Those who were students, much like yourselves, of the words given, of the prophecy, knew to look for someone specific, someone who would change things. And what did Jesus do? Did he change things? Each one of you at some point in time were changed. You agreed with him in regard to your condition and sought that which he provided. And you were changed. There's nothing like that in this world. Nothing that compares to that. As such, he must be holy. And so when an angel told Mary, I want you to just kind of get your head around this. When an angel told Mary, I lost my spot, of the child she was to be miraculously born of her, a virgin, he said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for this reason, the holy offspring shall be called the Son of God. It's in Luke chapter 1. Throughout the life ministry of our Lord on the earth, it became increasingly clear this was no ordinary man. Indeed, he was more than a prophet and more than a mere man. He was the Son of God. Even the demons had acknowledged him as the Holy One of God in Mark 1:24 and in Luke 4:34. These things Jesus said and did marked him out as the one who stood head and shoulders above any other merely human being. Peter, a professional fisherman, but when he obeyed the instructions of our Lord, the results were awesome. Peter's response was appropriate. When Simon Peter, this is in Luke chapter 5, when Simon Peter saw that he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." You see a pattern here? What did Isaiah say? "I am undone, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips." When Jesus healed the demon-possessed dumb man, the multitudes marveled, saying, "There is nothing like this in Israel." When Jesus told the paralytic that his sins were forgiven and then proceeded to heal him, the people could not escape the implications. I want you to turn your Bible to Mark chapter 2. You there? Who do I want to pick on? Oh, Bretta, you're next. How about that? If nothing else, we go in line. And that's why Cindy's in the back seat there.
Yep.
Okay. Would you read that for us?
Mark 2:5.
5 through 12.
When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this is what they were thinking in their hearts, and he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat and walk'? That you may know the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." He said to the paralytic, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this."
Awesome. Think about this. This is a man who was paralyzed. We don't know how long, but he couldn't use his legs. Okay? And Jesus starts by saying, "My son, your sins are forgiven." Do you feel the full impact of what Jesus just said? If God alone is the only one that can forgive your transgressions, Jesus just said, "Now I am God. You see me, you can touch me, you hear my voice. I am God." That would be like me saying it here to you. And think about your reaction. We know Mark. We've seen Mark make mistakes. Okay? That wasn't the case with Jesus. And the religious rule of the day said, "This man is blaspheming. He is cursing God by saying, 'I am God.'" And Jesus immediately knew what he was thinking. Does that not stir you a little bit? There was no speech here. He knew what they were thinking, and he turned to them and says, "Why are you reasoning about these things in your heart?" Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to heal? But because you need something more, because you don't have faith, he said to this paralytic man, "So that you know that the Son of Man has authority on the earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, rise, take your pallet, and go home." And immediately he rose, took up his pallet, and went out of sight of all. And they were amazed, and they glorified God at what had just taken place. Now, I will venture a guess, and the scripture will back me up, that we don't know about every miracle Jesus performed. I believe the scripture bears witness to that if the words, paper, could contain everything that he did while he walked on this earth, the volumes would be too great. This is not everything that he did. This is what God breathed through the writers here so that we would have an understanding of some of the things that Jesus did. When the man was born blind and was healed by Jesus, the scribes and the Pharisees were most reluctant to admit such a miracle had taken place. The blind man could see the implications of what happened, and he pressed them on his interrogators. I would like, Helen, would you like to read? Sure. Let's look at John chapter 9, and it's just a couple of verses. Remember, we're talking about the holiness, the set-apartedness of God Almighty in the flesh here. He is the other. He is unique. There is no one walking on the earth, no good man, no holy man that is like Jesus Christ at this time. You there? Read verses 30 through 33. This is the blind man's rebuttal to his accusers. Go ahead. Look what's just happened. blind. He's blind. He can't see anything. Jesus heals him. Now he can see. He left. He's going to go tell people what this man Jesus just did for him. Sounds like something we should grab a hold of, okay? Because I'm going to tell you, you were blind, and now you see. The miracle is just the same. The scales that were present before your conversion are now gone. You know more than you did before. God intervened in your life. You know more. What are you doing with it? This man wasn't a religious scholar. I was blind. And you, the religious authority, you should know about this man. Because you tell people that you're holy. You should know about him. What does he say? Well, here's an amazing thing, that you do not know where he is from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is God-fearing, and he does his will, and he hears him, since the beginning of time, it has never been heard of. It never been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. This isn't something that was a disease that caused the blindness. He never saw. Imagine for a moment in time that you've seen nothing all of your life. Everyone has had to hold you by the hand, take you places, do pretty much everything for you, or let you beg by the side of the road. Now you can see. You don't have to be held by the hand anymore. You won't stumble over things anymore because you can see. Those who are sighted from birth and still have their sight can't comprehend what this was like. He didn't hang around. I guarantee you, this man went back and said, "Look, this man Jesus did this. I can see you. I know what you look like, and you're not that pretty. But I can see. I couldn't see before. And you guys, you don't know him?